Amen. God is faithful, isn't he? He's so good. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his what? Great is his faithfulness. You know, we had a really interesting morning service. It was almost kind of like a prayer meeting. But we were going to open with a song. We're not going to do that this service. So it's Mother's Day. And I'm going to get to a passage that talks about this, but I want to just help you wrap your minds potentially around something. Moms, do you know that we have a whole lot of responsibility? Wow, that's an understatement, right? We have so many stewardships, and it is our stewardship to take care of the home. It's our stewardship to take care of our families, to take care of our husbands, to take care of everybody sometimes. But can you imagine if you were having conversation with Jesus? Jesus called you and said, meet me over here. I want to talk to you. You sat down and he said, you know, all the things you do that I actually count on you to do are important, but not that important. Could you imagine? I would be kind of like, wait a minute, I'm so confused. Because, like, if I don't do it, who's going to do it sometimes, right? You ever feel that way? Even if you have a spouse that helps you or kids that help you, maybe you're a single mom and they do, you know, they help out, they pitch in. There's still a lot. But Jesus, we're going to get to a passage in a little while where he's saying, actually, it's not that important to me. So I just wanted to start with that. But we're going to get to that text. In the meantime, I wanted to share, you know, we're up here on the stage a lot, but I'm going to use Mother's Day to introduce my family to you. Is that okay? By photo? Because I have three children, and they're all married. My kids got married very young, and they started having kids right away. So I have a big family already. My oldest daughter, who is part of my story, if you've ever read my book, Girl in the Song, or heard me share it, she is a very special girl. She was kind of born in the midst of my pain, really, really difficult time in my life, but she is such a woman of God. I want to encourage you single moms, because God will do whatever he wants to do. Go ahead and put that picture up of Susie. She's que linda, right? She's so beautiful. And how do you say? Que linda, hermosa? That's a good word, right? But you know what? She's so beautiful, but she's as beautiful inside. Her spirit, anybody that knows her, she's so precious. But she and Pastor Josh and the boys, they lead Philadelphia Tabernacle. So they moved, amen, they're missionaries. They're missionaries. So that's my oldest. So I've got two kids already from them. My oldest grandson he's a big guy now. He's 10 already, 10 and 8. Next picture, as you just saw her, Annie and Andre. And look at little Sienna. So I just saw a video before the service of Sienna Lake at the end of last service. And she was watching me, and she was worshiping. She was in the back. We were singing a song at the end, and she was just praising. I got it on video. But anyway, she's just a worshiper already, like her mom. And then next one is my son. I have a son that lives in Dallas, Texas, with his wife, Olympia. That girl, yes. That girl was his first girlfriend, and he told me, when he was in junior high, I'm marrying Olympia. And he married Olympia. And that's Tommy. Tommy's a businessman, and he has the three kids, and they're going on another one. By the way, she's got one baking, number 4. And Annie has one baking. Uh-huh. So cool, so cool, so blessed. So, yeah, God's been so good to me by giving me such a family. You know, if you would have told me back in those days, in those darkest days of my life, I was a single mom at the time. I mean, dark. I didn't see a way out. It was a hole that I could not climb out of a pit. If you would have told me I'd be standing here and showing those pictures, that's why I'm trying to tell you. I'm nobody special. But when you surrender to God, this goes for young man, you too, everyone in the audience, you surrender to God, you better hold on to your seat. He wants to bless you. He really wants to bless you. And it's, you know, there's so many things in life we have to do to get, right? We have to get, not, this is just like, just surrender your life to him. Just say, Jesus, I follow you. I lean on you. I depend on you. That's all. It's that. And then as you do and you just surrender to him, you start living a life that pleases him. And you're like, wow, it's just happening naturally. It's so easy. So that's another sermon. But that's what he does when you surrender to him. He's so faithful. So God has been good to me by giving me these kids. He restored what the locusts had eaten. And he gave me, amen. And he gave me a husband, and a very good husband. He's your pastor. And I'm so thankful for him because, and I'll say this quick, I'm just trying to be led here. But when we got married, I was a single mom. And I don't know that I've ever shared this, but at the time when we got married, Susie Joy, my oldest, who's turning 36, she was 3 and a half. And so it was amazing because on my wedding day, he gave me a ring and he put a ring on her finger too. Yeah, tell me about it. Amazing. God is faithful. And that was just the grace of God on his life for my life, you know. And then the time came where he was able to adopt her. And the beautiful thing is ever since the beginning, I feel I'm supposed to go on about the goodness of God. At the very beginning, like, she automatically just started to call him daddy. And it was so natural. And we have to sometimes remind ourselves that we're like a, if you call it a blended family, because it's just always been just so normal. And the grace on her life and the grace on his life to love one another the way they do, God has really been good to me. But anyway, besides my husband just being an incredible husband and father, he actually cooks for me sometimes. Yeah. So I don't want to put pressure on you, men, but it's coming anyway. Because, but let me qualify this, because it wasn't always that way, you know? He was an old-fashioned, no disrespect to old-fashioned Cuban men, but they don't really cook very much. And so for the first 20 years of our marriage, he did not cook, and I cooked everything. Everything, all the time. I see a lot of women going, mm-hmm, we know, we know. And he didn't. He would come in the kitchen and give me a kiss when I was cooking and then go back out. And but just a great husband. But the day that he told me, I want to learn how to cook. And being the student that he is, and you know he's a student of the word, he didn't just like watch a video on how to cook. He bought all the best chef books. Yeah, amen. Of course he did. All the best, like the best chefs in the world, right. Not like cooking 101. And then he started highlighting them. And I'd see him in bed highlighting. Who does this? Highlighting, putting words in the margin. I was like, you writing a sermon? Or are we getting... So anyway, needless to say, he cooks, and so there was, he does a lot of different things too. So he would make me things like this, like bread, homemade. That bread is good. That is not, that crust is just right. Starts like that, proof, all that. You're gonna get hungry. Church will be over soon, don't worry. Bread, warm, butter, you know, the whole thing, marmalade. But then he really studied. He would do things with proteins, meats. You have one with the meat? That looks nice. Oh, that's impressive. I mean, he could have just thrown the steak on there, right? But there's the, I don't know, what are those? onions? Shallots. I never cooked with one shallot for 20 years. Then some puree of something, great. And then he just started to get after some of these chefs. Who's the one? Thomas Keller. And then look what he did. Check this one out. So there's a reason why I'm showing off his cooking and honoring him, because something's coming. So yesterday, something's coming. Yesterday, we had Ladies' Weekend, and it was such a blessed weekend. It was so good. Amazing. Friday night with the Next Gen. Oh my goodness, we had a panel. Only the Holy Spirit could have orchestrated this. I would have never thought of this, but it just kind of happened. We had Pastor Maria Durso on the panel. This is to teenagers and young adults. She was on the panel. She's 75. I was moderating. I'm 55. We had Shelly, who's like 43. And then we had Gabby Domerson, who's 15. On one panel. Is that cool? But guess, it was so cool because we were talking to these young people, but it was like we were all the same age. You know, we're all like girls before the Lord. And I had girls coming up to me saying, would you pray for me? I'm suicidal. I can't take the fighting in my house anymore. And we prayed. And I felt like, you know, I went home. I didn't know exactly what the Lord had done, but I just felt, I was so blessed and fulfilled to do that on Friday. And then yesterday we had workshops that were so great. First time we've ever done that. And then we went into Illuminate last night, and Pastor Maria Durso brought the word about being the bride of Christ. It was so beautiful. We had great worship. The little girls were jumping all over the stage. It was just like amazing. And then, but backtrack. Before I left for church yesterday, I said to my husband, if you're up to it, could you cook for me for Mother's Day? Because, like, I did not want to go to a restaurant. No offense if you're going to a restaurant. But I've had a long weekend, and I just wanted to, like, crash. So he said, well, I'll try my best. So he calls me. I'm, like, going to the service, and he's like, I can't find the ingredients. I'm now going to the second store. Turns out he went to, like, four supermarkets to find one thing. It was just one of those days. And he's, like, doing all this and working really hard. I'm over here working really hard, and I come home, I smell the smell of whatever he's making through the door, and then when I come in, now this is Mother's Day Eve, right? Yeah. Mother's Day Eve. And the kitchen looked like this. At about 10 o'clock at night. Don't you hate those bowls like that? And the pots and pans. If only it was just the dishes, because I could just easily, but when it's the pots and pans, and he was so, you could take that off. It stresses me out to see it. He was so tired, and he had no business washing those dishes. It was 10. He wakes up at very early in the morning, and I wasn't about to do them. I was tired, but I'm the type of person, how many of you, it's hard to go to bed with the dishes in the sink. Come on, someone say amen. It's hard. It's hard. Some of you, it's easy, but for others, it's hard. And it was bothering me, and I almost went and just took care of it, but I just put the blankets over my head, and I went to sleep. Literally put them over my head, because I was like, I got to preach tomorrow and all this. So got up early this morning, and, you know, I contemplated, should I wash them? And but then, you know what, we didn't, because we got in our word. That was priority, and we knew we only had so much time before we went to church, but they were sitting there still, and guess what? When I get home, they're sitting there. But I want to just once again say, he was cooking all day. It was late. I'm not in any way. I mean, I'm so grateful. I'm going to have the most incredible meal today. But I was like, that is really interesting that happened. We have such a big weekend that he would have had all that trouble finding the ingredients and stuff. What is this all about? And then this morning, laser beam. There's a passage, and here it is. It's in the book of Luke. And in this passage, Mary and Martha, two women, are inviting Jesus over to their house, which is such a beautiful thing to open your home and have people over. I don't know if we do that anymore. We had a workshop yesterday about hospitality, the true biblical hospitality. And they invited Jesus in, and Jesus gets there. And of course, you don't invite someone over and not feed them. But when he got there, this is what it says. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. And his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, imagine the audacity. She's like, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. Besides the fact that she's the sister, she's the younger sister, she did, out of honor, she should have. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Now, imagine, Jesus is there, Martha. I actually saw some paintings of this. I was looking up the passage. I saw these beautiful paintings, depictions of this. And she's like this, and Jesus is looking up at her, and Mary's down there at Jesus' feet. But she's like this. And Jesus looks up to her and says, you are worried and you are upset about many things. But Martha, few things are needed. Or actually, I've never seen the Lord do this. He like says something, but then he almost is like, not changing his mind, but really digging in. He goes, few things are needed, or indeed, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That is profound. And I find it really interesting that the Lord uses this picture of a woman doing what she's called to do. I mean, we're supposed to be helpers. Like when God created Eve, it was to be a helpmate for Adam, right? He made it very clear. God made it clear that we are to be helpers. We have incredible influence, ladies. I don't think I have to tell you that. We have the most influence in Chicago. That is another gift God has given us. But we are, first and foremost, supposed to be a helper. Whether you're a married woman, you're supposed to be a helper to your husband. If you're a single woman, you're supposed to be a helper to the single men, to the people of our church. That is what God has called us to do. And are we okay with that?
Amen.
I embrace that because Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. So that means we're pretty great when we serve others. So it's just, it's a heavenly perspective. It's opposite of what the world says. It's like, serve me, that's low. That people are going to look down at the people that clean. People are going to look down, but not in the kingdom.
Right,
it's different. So we embrace that. Amen.
Right.
We embrace that. Yeah, don't let anybody tell you that is actually greatness when we serve. So here, Martha's doing the very thing that we were created to do, to be a helper, but yet she is being corrected by the Lord, which is fascinating to me because it's almost like it in the natural, it doesn't make sense because it's sort of like if we don't get it done, will it get done? You know, how is Jesus going to eat? How is he going to get his meal? He could have been hungry, but he's really trying to say something to all of us. And that is this. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary was actually postured and positioned to sit, just be with the Lord. Just be with the Lord. She wasn't praying. I want you to take note of that. Prayer is important. We're a praying church. She was not praying. As far as I can tell, she was just sitting at the Lord's feet. But he began to speak to her as she sat at his feet. And I had an incredible thing happen to me this morning at like 6 a.m. So I go out to get my coffee. I tried to not see the dishes, but I saw the dishes again. And from the coffee machine to my room where my chair is and my Bible is, I just wanted to be distracted. How many of you get easily distracted? And when you think about what distracts us, it's the smallest stuff. It's the smallest stuff. And I'm going to the chair, and now I'm tired. It's been a full weekend. I've got to preach today. There's just all kinds of things. I'm traveling the day after tomorrow to speak in Oklahoma City. I just came back from an international trip. And those dishes, for some reason, right, become like a big deal. And it's so stupid, right? And I know in the natural, he would always get those done. He would have gotten those done. But for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, but he had to go to like four stores. Maybe it was because God had a lesson for me on Mother's Day and a lesson for you on Mother's Day, even for all of us. And so I get to my chair, and the very thing that Mary did, I did. I sat at his feet. Now, Jesus isn't physically there, but we know he's very much there when we come to him. He is standing right there when you come to him. He's a rewarder. He rewards us with his very presence. So I'm sitting there. The moment I sit there, I just engaged my heart with him. And I pushed away the distraction by grace. I pushed away the distraction. And all of a sudden, guys, I'm talking to you like a mom, right? You know me. His love and his presence came so strong in my room. It came so strong, like, that I was overwhelmed. I was like, Lord, are you doing this for me? Are you doing this maybe for the church today? Maybe for the mothers? This is so, I seek the Lord, but today was different. It was like, I have to believe it was like a taste of what heaven's going to feel like. And all I did was just sit and push away the distraction. I just kept thinking, thank you, Lord, for those dishes. Because I needed to experience this passage firsthand. Like, I read it, but I had to experience it. He said, few things are needed. In other words, let's just say Jesus was hungry and he came to their house. I believe, based on what I even felt today, right? He was fully man, he was God, but he was fully man. I believe that he came to that house, and although he may have been hungry, Mary at his feet meant more to him than any meal that could have been given to him. It meant way more. Because the thing that we don't think about very often is he wants us to let delight in him, and I'll get to that in a second, but he delights in us. Amen. He says she's chosen the right thing. She's chosen the right thing. It's not food I need. She's chosen the right thing. And this was pre-Calvary and the cross and his blood shedding for us, right? But he was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And she was just sitting at her Savior's feet. So beautiful. And as I'm sitting there and I'm just feeling, the only way I could describe it, like, today was a really special morning for me. It was so special. As it's happening, this is the best way I could describe it. It felt like crashing waves. I know that sounds, but it just felt like waves. It was like so strong. His presence was so strong and so strong. And then I literally opened up to the psalm that I was going to read this morning, Psalm 41. And look at what I read. At the very moment, it felt like waves. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. The depths of God calls to the depths of who we are. To the deepest part of who you are, a place no one can touch. Nothing can touch. Band-aids, numbing, we have all these things, but no one can touch. Deep calls to deep feels different to me today, because this morning, for your sake maybe, I felt the depths of God reach to the depths of me, and it was almost like, whoa! It was so strong. It was so beautiful. And then this is what happened. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just praising God, and the tears are flowing, because if you ever find yourself in God's presence and tears flow, that's natural. Because it's overwhelming to be in the presence of a holy God. And the tears are flowing, and I got all these tissues, and I'm blowing my nose. And then, just like Mary, I'm just sitting at his feet. I didn't pray for you. Forgive me. I didn't pray for anybody yet. I just sat at his feet, and then I began to hear him. It says that Mary just sat there and listened to Jesus. And I was listening, and guess what, Sister Tina, God started to say to me. He started to show me, I don't know why, some of the things he did in these women's life over the weekend. Like, I started to see in the spirit some of the things I had prayed for. It wouldn't have mattered if 10 people came yesterday to illuminate. It wouldn't have mattered, because God showed me what he did in 5 of the 10. You know what I mean? It was so powerful, and I was the least prepared today, if you will, to preach. Like, I usually have my points, and I have my text, and I love to motivate people, and I love the fire of the Holy Spirit. But I felt the least prepared, but the most prepared today. Amen. I felt the most prepared today. Because, you know, it's spirit to spirit. We have an incredible teaching. That's one of the reasons I don't preach very much. I preach in a lot of places, but here, I need to receive. I need to receive. We have such good teaching. But God is calling us today to him. Not to apply, in a sense, not to learn from him. And I'm saying this carefully, because we're always learning. This is something that we're learning from him. But this is like, press into me. This is a call. This is more of a call than a sermon. Of all days, Mother's Day. And it's so cool, because I know, as a mom and a grandma, you could get me anything. You could tell me, I'm going to buy you this, or your kids are going to serve the Lord. Which one do you want? Which one are we going to pick? If you're here today and you're a son or your daughter and you came to honor your mother, thank you for coming to honor your mother. But the greatest gift you can give your mom today, the greatest gift, is to say yes to Jesus. She's been your mom. Your mom has been praying for you, and you know it, because you feel it, especially when you're sinning. Especially, can we just take the baby out, because I don't want to distract. The Holy Spirit is here. Listen, listen. Listen, everyone, listen. Deep is calling to deep today. Even the one in this room has turned their back on God. You're here today. It's the right thing to do. It's Mother's Day. But you hear it. Your spirit hears it. Deep is calling to deep. He's not first asking for your life. He's not first asking for your talents. He's not first asking for even your obedience. He's calling for you. He's calling to the deepest parts of who you are. And he says, I want to meet you in the deep calls to deep place. And when he does, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Sienna Lake, my little granddaughter, I cannot wait to get home and her come over today, because I just want to cuddle with her and be with her. Like, that's joy. But nothing, not one of my grandkids, my children, even my husband, can meet me in that place like Jesus can and does. And he wants to do that for you. And the call today is to push away the distractions. It's just like we're checking on our phone, our bank account balance. As if, let's just face it, if you've been serving the Lord long, you know you have very little to do with that bank account. It's the Lord. He's the ones that supplies. He gives us the grace to even save. And it's totally Him, so you could keep checking it and all. But maybe while you're checking it, He's saying, come. I'm calling you, and I don't even need you to pray for anybody right now. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for all of us. There's a place for prayer, and we have to pray. I can't wait till Tuesday, right? But this is different. This is God, and God wants us. God wants us. He said, I'll forgo eating. Martha, you belong here too. I'll forgo the meal if you would just sit at my feet, because that is where your life is complete, sitting at His feet. So what does that look like for you? Many of us have work tomorrow morning, and it's like a, what's the word we used back in New York? It's the grind, right? The daily grind. And you know what you're going to do. You get up, you shower, you get to work. You know what's facing you at your desk or wherever you work. If you're a bus driver, how many trips you have to take. Whatever it is that you do, you know what's facing. And then you come home. And then obviously we all have to eat. We need, right, the natural food. And then the day goes by. And then we've come to the very end of the day, and Monday's over. And He's been calling all day. He's just been waiting. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on us. And the amazing thing about the call is the call isn't because so much He wants something from us. There's nothing. How could we give anything to God? He wants to delight in us. When He delights in us, we so naturally delight in Him. I feel like my whole message today is me just delighting in Him because He met with me this morning. I feel more prepared than ever because I am just overflowing with delight for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit.